What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. Hello, what's up, you guys? Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm a mental health advocate, I'm a coach, and I'm an athlete aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. Again, if you are listening, it means the absolute world to me. I really appreciate all the support that I get. By the title of this episode, you kind of have a general idea of what I will be speaking on today. But before I break down today's topic, I just want to share one piece of information. For those of you who don't know, a couple months ago, I rebranded my company from Kinsley Meeks Legit Fit to Fitness for Fortitude. And the whole idea behind my brand was promoting not just good physical health, but also good mental health, as I've gone through some pretty challenging mental health struggles myself. And I've really gained the knowledge and learned that, you know, you really can't have a healthy body until you have a healthy mind. So I wanted my brand to be not just all about Kinsley Meeks, Legit Fit, not just all about me, but promoting, okay, fitness for fortitude. We want to be strong mentally and physically. And that's what my brand is all about, helping you achieve the best health that you can emotionally, physically, all that good stuff. So if you follow up on my journey, again, you know that mental health is not a topic I speak lightly about. Going through challenging mental battles myself, I know what it's like to have your mind be the one thing that is limiting you in so many different areas. So with this episode, although I am no expert, and I want to put that out there, I want to do my best to share with you how I am learning to connect my mind with my body in order to perform at my highest self. I do believe that we have trials that we go through. You guys know life is hard, but usually through those trials and tribulations, we have a purpose. They all have a purpose in our life, and they allow us to relate to others, maybe going through similar battles and struggles. But this only works if you were strong enough to be vulnerable and share the experiences that you have gone through. That's how we're able to help one another. And that's what I'm all about, is helping people. So with millions of people struggling with mental health each year, I know that it can be very difficult to talk about. It's definitely not my favorite topic. It's a hard one, but it's important that we are taking action to improve our mind so our body can follow. Today's show is going to consist of four key ideas on improving your mental health and your mind-to-body connection relative to physical performance. So please be sure to listen to the very end of this episode as I break down powerful concepts such as mindfulness, visualization, learning how to calm your nervous system, and seek support and community. If this message does resonate with you, or if it helps you in any way, please let me know by sending me an Instagram message. My Instagram is yo, it's Kinslow, or you can go through my business account, Fitness, the number 4, and then Fortitude. Or if you want to show support by leaving a rate and review on any major podcast platform, that would mean a lot to me as well. So I want to start today's show by taking a couple minutes just to share an inspiring story with you all. So I'm the type of person that I like to find inspiration from many different areas, from the things that I do, from the people I see, from videos I watch, maybe from speakers that I look up to, maybe from certain song lyrics, music, etc. But I will say on that note, I'm very careful and I'm very mindful about what I allow my mind to take in. So again, I listen to music that makes me feel good. I try to place myself the best that I can around people that lift me up. I listen to people that I look up to and who are influential to me and make a difference in my life. So inspiration can come from anywhere. And anytime I do an episode, something typically inspires me to get a topic that I want to talk about. And it's fun because I'm able to be creative and share that with you guys. So today, the topic of inspiration, it came from Simone Biles. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Simone Biles is an American Belizean gymnast. She's a 6-time world all-around champion. She has a total of 37 Olympic world championship medals and is known as the greatest of all time. And I agree with this. Simone, you are the GOAT. She is definitely an amazing gymnast. So Let me tell you what I love about this woman. Of course, from a physical standpoint, I love her dedication to athletics. I love her drive. I love her determination. I love her passion, her fearless attitude. Anyone who's getting up on a balance beam that is just a couple inches wide is absolutely insane and doing backflips on them. I mean, that's wild. So you have to be fearless, and that's amazing. And then also just the strength that it takes to be a gymnast. Brutal hours of training in the gym, falling flat on your face a million times, but choosing to get back up. Injuries are very common within the sport. Again, it's a sport that really, if you're into gymnastics, that's absolutely incredible. It's something very interesting to me. But beyond that, the thing that I admire about Simone the most is not her physical strength, it's her mental strength. It's her ability to speak up about mental health and stay true to herself. It's Simone's ability to shed light on how important it is to be in a healthy spot mentally in order to operate and compete in the best way physically. So I don't watch a lot of TV, and I'll tell you why this is important, but the reason I kind of found out about Simone Biles and a little bit more about her story was through a documentary on Netflix called Simone Biles Rising. Again, I'm very careful about what I put in my mind, but sometimes I like to watch something to kind of get my mind off of work and something that makes me feel uplifted or happy. And let me tell you, this documentary is something special. So it's basically a series following this incredible gymnast as she learns to kind of balance her personal life. She shares on her mental health journey and her training, both mental and physical training, and prepares for a return to the Olympics after taking time away to actually improve her mental health, which she says helped her become a better athlete by taking time away. So I really encourage you listeners to watch this documentary all the way through. But this really relates to today's topic. So again, you guys stay with me. This incredible gymnast, Simone Biles, was competing in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. This is kind of how the documentary starts. And just imagine the pressure of thousands of fans watching you, all expecting you to win every single event. But this year was different for Simone, as she discusses in the docuseries. Simone actually withdrew from 5 final events in one of the most important days in her career at the Olympics, because she was going through such a hard time emotionally, such a hard time mentally, a mental block where she truly was unable to perform at the best of her ability. Now, there's a lot of controversy behind this event, which it states during the documentary, but even doing the research myself, I like to follow up. It was very interesting to me, and a lot of people who were in the industry and well-known in the industry were calling Simone Biles a quitter. They say that she quits for her team, that she should have just kept going, that an Olympian like that should never give up, but I totally disagree with this controversy. I think Simone is a badass. I do not think what she did was give up. I think she was smart enough to be vulnerable and take a moment to realize, okay, I'm not going to be able to perform to the best of my ability on this day. I'm not helping my teammates. I'm not helping myself. I am only making myself worse. So let me take myself out of this competition, pull myself together mentally, get stronger with my health, and then come back later and dominate. And that's exactly what Simone did. So again, the documentary discusses this, but she takes time away to work on her mental health. And it's not just several months. I believe it's like a year and a half, maybe even longer, if I can remember. But she takes time to work on her mental health and her personal life. She comes back. She dominates the Olympic trials this year and will be competing in the 2024 Olympics. So moral of the story is Biles inspires me. She inspires so many others as she really demonstrates the importance of prioritizing mental health and growing stronger after such a challenging knock in Tokyo in 2020. You cannot have a healthy body until you have a healthy mind. So what are some ways that you can improve your mental health? That's what we're going to dive into. What are some ways you can establish a better mind-to-body connection? What are examples of exercises you can practice every day to improve your mental health in order to perform from a physical standpoint? Number one, you can practice just being more mindful. Mindfulness is a common practice where you must know and identify your mental health struggles. You have to be aware of them and where you are currently at. So let's go back to Simone Biles again for an example. Now, one thing that really resonated with me is Simone is at the 2020 Olympic trials. The first event she does is a vault, and she ends up not performing very well in this vault. She kind of gets lost in the air with this very challenging skill. And when she gets done with the exercise, when she gets done with the vault, she says to her coach these words. She says, "I'm done. I don't want to do anything stupid." This woman was smart enough and brave enough to speak out and acknowledge and realize, hey, I can't perform right now because mentally this is not where I need to be. And then she pulled out. That's not giving up by any means. It's just being smart, in my opinion. So I'll be the first one to say it can be hard to be mindful, to acknowledge how you are truly feeling and the situation that you are currently going through. It sucks. I found myself trying to distract myself sometimes. I think we all do that. But the first step is to actually identify what the root of this issue is. What is holding you back? What are your limiting beliefs? What are you struggling with that is not allowing you to perform, whether it be at work, whether it be again in a competition, whether it be at an event, whether it be in a relationship? But the first step is to identify again, what is the root of the issue and how can I take action to grow in my fortitude and improve my mental health? So how can you be more mindful? We actually talked a little bit about this practice of mindfulness and gratitude and things like that on last week's episode. I really encourage you guys to check it out. That was episode number 25, I believe. It was a good one. So show some support on that one and we kind of break that down more in detail. But I want to go over it again today. So first thing, just taking time to breathe and meditate, even if it's just 5 minutes, sometimes that's all you need. We live in a very fast-paced society, especially if you have a very grueling job or a very grueling physical activity that you need to perform every day. Just like me, I'm a competitor. There's a lot of things I need to do for my physical body, and sometimes I get stressed. You know, we all do because life is stressful. We never know what it's going to throw our way. So I really encourage you guys, and I suggest to you guys to try to slow down your day. Again, society is so fast. Sometimes you just have to look around you. Take a couple minutes to smell the flowers and just be thankful. Be thankful that you're alive. Be thankful that you have a job. Be thankful that you have a relationship if you do. Be thankful that you are able to walk on your two feet and that you are physically healthy if you are. And that's a really, really good thing. Secondly, another way to be mindful, and again, this really helps you improve your mental health and that mind-to-body connection, is spending time in nature. So I would say I feel the most at peace and the most relaxed when I am not in this big old building in Miami in the city. I love going to the beach. I love hearing the water. I love swimming in the ocean. I love being in the sun. And really placing my feet in the sand just makes me feel more grounded. So spending time in nature versus on your phone versus behind a TV screen versus at a desk all day at work, sometimes just to get outside can be super, super helpful. And again, going back to an example of me, there are certain times, y'all, when I just like start craving the beach. I'm like, I don't care how much work I have to do this weekend. I'm going to make sure that I take at least an hour to go to the beach, to drive down there and just sit my butt in the sun for about 30 minutes, swim a little bit and come back. And I almost always feel better after that because, again, it just keeps me grounded. So spend time in nature. If this is a practice you haven't done before, I highly, highly encourage you just to try it. And then lastly, just be in the present moment. It's hard sometimes to be fully present, but being present really is a gift, right? There's actually a Bible verse that I think about often, and it's Matthew 6:34. It says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And this verse just really means, you know, focus on the now. Learn to be aware of how you are feeling and what your current situation is. Be mindful. Try not to worry too much into the future. Of course, you always have to plan, but take it day by day and just take time to breathe, okay? Moving directly into my second point, which is in order to improve that mind-to-body connection, in order to gain a stronger sense of mental health, you need to practice visualization. Visualization means creating a vivid and controlled environment in your mind. This is extremely helpful in improving your mind-to-body connection. Anyone can do visualization training, and it is something that I've practiced pretty diligently through the past, I would say, 8 to 10 years of my life. And here's how you do it. I want you guys just to take a moment to sit down and to focus on something in specific. This could be a goal that you want to achieve, a career that you want to have, an event that you want to do well in, or maybe even just a person that you are pursuing. Now, what you need to do is close your eyes and actually think about that thing. No distractions. Hold that goal in your mind and imagine the outcome going exactly how you want it to. You have to learn how to visualize your dreams becoming a reality. Now, let me tell you why this is helpful. It may sound kind of woo-woo, kind of crazy, but it's really not. Because think about the alternative. If you are not visualizing, usually what happens is you start speaking negative thought patterns into your mind. You don't see the situation playing out in the best way because our minds usually just play tricks on us and take us to a dark spot. You let past experiences define your future, and a lot of times you give up before you even start. So it's really just being, again, mindful and visualizing how you want a certain event to go. And this is really relative to me as an athlete. So the way that I do this, to tell you from a personal standpoint, is I do visualize with my career, I do visualize with my work, I do visualize with my relationships a little bit, but the main thing I really visualize is my athletic career as a bikini competitor. So before I get on stage, really like a couple nights prior to the show, and not even a couple nights prior, y'all, I do this all the time, I just kind of close my eyes or I sit down and I visualize me hitting my routine perfectly, me doing the very best that I can, my final look coming together, me feeling happy, me feeling confident. You know, what can I see? What can I touch? What can I smell? How can I visualize this performance going the very best that it can? And I do believe that that truly, truly helps me not just feel better, but I really think it helps the event go better than it would have gone if I wouldn't have done this practice. I promise it can be life-changing, that visualization training, if you just try. Let's move directly into point number 3. This is a big one. You must learn how to calm your nervous system to help with your mental health. As we know, the body is made up of multiple different systems, one being the nervous system. Now, this system is responsible for sending signals between your brain and the rest of your body. The nervous system has many important functions, such as, you know, controlling your emotions and your thoughts. The central nervous system controls your ability to move, to balance, and to coordinate well. It helps with interpretation of sensory information, and it is also responsible for your learning and memory, among many, many other functions. So there's no doubt having this system working optimally is going to affect your mental health and your physical performance. With this information in mind, it is crucial that you gain the ability to control your central nervous system. You must know how to calm yourself down in a state of emotional discomfort. I have improved in doing this drastically throughout my athletic career, and I'll tell you how it works. So I've always pushed myself to the limits when it comes to athletics. I always believed my athletics would take me somewhere. And I really thought I was going to go and run professionally all throughout when I was in middle school, when I was in high school. That ended up not going my way. I think I talked about that on the first episode of my podcast. But the main reason that I wasn't the best that I feel I could have been at running was because of the simple fact that my mental health wasn't good enough to run to the best of my ability. It was almost like I had a mental block before many, many races. So I've always struggled with anxiety. And specifically when I was younger, I had a lot of performance anxiety. So this would be, for example, I would be about to go run. I would be about to go, you know, get on the line for my event. And I would have crazy panic attacks. It felt like I couldn't breathe. I had to go to the bathroom. I couldn't hold myself together. Sometimes I would have panic attacks while I was running. Ended up the sport, it wasn't fun for me anymore because I truly couldn't handle it mentally. But it was because I didn't know how. So I believe that having this sense of anxiousness, not being able to calm down before the race, you know, stepping up to the line and being worried about what my other competitors were doing and not being able to get my breath under control and not being able to visualize the performance going well, this made me typically not perform to the best of my abilities. At practice, I would absolutely kill it when there was no pressure, but once the pressure got added to it, I did succeed in a couple races, but for the most part, they just didn't go the way that the practices did. And that was tough. So After this kept reoccurring, I did a lot of research and I did a lot of mental work in learning how to control my central nervous system to get a better outcome when I do have a stressful event, when I have a competition, or when I have an event that I know is going to spike my anxiety. And I want to tell you again, this does relate for a physical standpoint. I'm really aiming to show you guys how to perform physically when your mental health is aligned. But this could also relate again to just a job or an event or a work relationship, something like that. You have to learn how to calm yourself down. You have to learn how to self-regulate. And this drastically changed the way I performed and felt before going into any type of sports performance. So this is the big question, y'all. How do you do it? How do you calm your central nervous system? I found that there are many different ways you can improve that state of calmness, and you really have to find what works best for you. But I'm going to share my top ways and what has truly helped me the most. So number one is just breathing. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but I want to delve into what breathing actually does for your mental health. Ask yourself, when is the last time that you just stopped, just took a moment and took a couple deep breaths? It's probably been a while, right? There are many different breathing techniques out there, and you can do some research on it. I can also post a couple that have helped me on my social medias if you guys have liked. But to be honest with you, my favorite one is one that I just kind of made up, started doing, and it stuck because it's easy. It's something I don't have to think about too much, and it's something that is quick and fast paced. So whenever I start to feel really anxious and I feel myself kind of in an emotional state of discomfort, I just take 5 to 10 deep breaths as controlled as I can. I inhale for about 3 seconds and I exhale for about 3 seconds. There's no science behind this specific technique, but it does help because what this does is actually activate something called the parasympathetic nervous system, which sends a signal to your brain, the anxious part, that basically says, whoa, girl, you need to chill. You don't need no flight or fight response. When you take the time to get a few deep breaths, you actually allow more oxygen to flow directly into your brain cells. So that breathing is a big one. Secondly, for calming the central nervous system, something I like to do is listen to music. I've always had a passion for music. My dad was really into it. My brother writes music. Of course, I've never been able to write music or write songs like that, but I will say, when I feel that emotionally I'm not at my best and I want to regulate my nervous system, hell, I basically just need to calm down. I listen to music that makes me happy, music that makes me feel good. Now, what this does is reduce anxiety, blood pressure. It enhances your overall mood, your mental cognition, and your memory. And then last thing I do, and that I want to suggest to you as well, is just to bring in more positive thoughts. This is similar to visualization, but not quite the same. I've really learned to think good things in a bad state of stress and anxiety, or again, emotional discomfort, versus, you know, thinking bad things. Typically, when you stress about something and when you replay bad scenarios over in your mind and when you speak negatively and you have a pessimistic mindset, it doesn't help anything. And I'm a realist, believe me, but I'm also an optimistic person. So I suggest to you to repeatedly say phrases to yourself that boost your mood rather than bringing you down. And I know it sounds silly, but it's really just that positive affirmation towards yourself that makes all the difference. So tell yourself these couple phrases. You know, say to yourself, hey, I am strong, I am capable, I am worthy, and I'm a badass. It can be something simple, but repeating those in your head really, really helps. And I also acknowledge the positive things in my life and events or situations that have gone well. So I'll give you an example on how you can do this from a competitive standpoint. Before I go on stage, I don't doubt my abilities because I think to myself, when has this paid off in the past? And of course, I've lost several competitions. I never expect to win. All I can do is show up my best and we'll see if the judges like me or if they don't, or if there's someone who looks better than me or if there isn't. It is what it is on that. However, I think to myself, okay, when has this situation gone well? I think to myself, not to boast, but I've won every national qualifier I've ever competed in. I have followed my exercise and nutrition plan flawlessly. I've practiced my routine millions of times and I've executed it the way it should be. So I'm gonna do well. So if you have a physical performance, a work presentation, an interview, a competition, an event, just try telling yourself, I'm prepared and I'm awesome. And I guarantee you that phrase in itself will actually make you believe in what you're speaking to yourself and make a positive impact. As long as you've prepared, you're ready, and that's all you can do. And then finally, the last way that you can improve your mental health and really sync your mind with your body is to be brave enough to seek support. So if you are struggling, and my heart goes out to you, there are all different types of mental disorders. You should seek professional help. Now, of course, seeking support from family and friends can be very, very helpful, and it can usually bring you a little bit of comfort to an extent, but sometimes they just don't know how to help you. And sometimes you don't want to put that on your friends or your family members. You don't want to make them feel sad or bad for you. So what I really mean is, if you want to work on yourself, sometimes you need someone in the profession of mental health to give you guidance, to give you advice, and or medication to make your brain operate with your body. And we'll bring back my girl Simone again in this docuseries. She talks about how she goes to therapy after she has this mental breakdown at the Tokyo Olympics, and she talks about how much it has helped her. And she actually inspires her boyfriend, he's like a big NFL football player, to go to therapy too. And it's funny because this is this, you know, big old football player, and she's this amazing athlete, and they're just like going to therapy. And I even remember there was a point in the docuseries, and you know, her boyfriend, this big guy, again, is saying, like, I don't need to talk to anyone. It's a common phrase, right? Everyone says that. But Simone kind of inspires him to go see a therapist, and he talks about how much it has helped. And that's important. So it doesn't matter what type of stage you're at. You shouldn't feel guilty. You shouldn't feel bad for trying to make yourself better. And sometimes therapy is not the right thing, but for some people it is. And I think if you're really in a bad emotional state and you want to get better, you have to at least try. And sometimes it's about just finding the right person. And it may take a couple times. Not every therapist is good. Not every personal trainer is good. Not every cook is good. You know, not every teacher is good. You know, you have to seek the right person for you in that profession, but you can't just give up. And there's really no shame in that. And I can tell you from a personal standpoint, bottling everything up and continuously suppressing your emotions, it'll only work for so long. And eventually you will get to a breaking point. So just don't let yourself get there. To summarize today, I want you guys to remember the quote, "You can't have a healthy body until you have a healthy mind." If you want to perform to the best of your ability from a physical standpoint, you must be in a healthy spot mentally and emotionally. So here's what you can do. Number one, practice mindfulness and self-awareness. Next, incorporate visualization training. Imagine your dreams becoming a reality. Thirdly, learn how to calm your central nervous system. And then lastly, don't be afraid to seek support if you need it. That's all I have for you guys today in opening up about mental health and learning how to improve that mind-to-body connection. I want to thank you guys, as always, for taking a couple minutes out of your day to listen to my show. Again, if it helps you learn something or inspired you or motivated you, please be sure to rate, to follow, and to review the show. I always love seeing the rates and reviews. It really makes me smile. And then if you guys are interested in one-on-one coaching, you know I am a fitness coach, I'm a personal trainer, I'm a nutrition coach, a posing coach, all that good stuff. What you can do to get in contact with me is shoot me an email at kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com. That's kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com. And I will get back to you as soon as I can to give you that one-on-one coaching spot. So passionate about what I do. Or you can always, again, just send me an Instagram direct message with any topics you'd like to hear next. Or again, if you need some help, you need some guidance in your fitness journey, I would love to be that person for you. So final thing before we end today's show, I always like to take a question from a listener. And today's question is as follows. How does your training differ in prep versus the off season? Cool question. As you guys know, I am in prep right now. And let me just say, by the time you actually get done listening to this episode, I will have competed in my next competition in Anaheim, California. It will most likely be my last one for this year. So hoping that it goes well, you guys be sure to follow up on the journey and support. But yes, I'm very deep into a prep and my training does differ, all that being said. So I would say as far as exercises go, I always stick with similar movement patterns, ones that work with my body mechanics, ones that really I feel well in the targeted muscles. I don't usually try to do anything too unique or anything too special. I go with movements, again, that I feel well. So the movements are very similar as far as the training. But what I will say is, in a prep versus an off season, I typically am doing a little bit less volume during a prep, especially as I get, I would say, 6 weeks out and under. And then I'm typically using a little bit less resistance. And I'm not necessarily trying to. It's just I'm not having the same fuel. I'm not eating as much. I'm in a deep caloric deficit. So usually I just don't have the same type of energy. I don't have the same type of strength. I maintain it best as I can, but it's not usually, you know, the same. I'm not hitting any PRs when I'm 2 weeks out for a show. And another thing is, too, and I learned to be smart about this, when you're not eating as much, a lot of times for me, I start to get a little bit of joint pain and my bones just can't handle as much weight as they used to because there's not a lot of fat supporting the joints themselves, right? Because my fats are very low. So I'm careful about what I do because I don't want to get injured, which I think is a smart way to train. If you are in a competition prep, you are in a very low cutting phase, try to push as much as you can, but be smart about the volume and make sure that you're actually filling, you know, your muscles rather than just your bones, if that makes sense. So I do choose things that are a little bit less taxing on my joints. I train at a high intensity on the off season and in the in season, but I would say the rest periods are also something that differs. Usually since I'm lifting a little bit more weight in the off season, I'll rest for a little bit longer in between straight sets. Maybe I'm doing a really heavy compound lift like a squat or a deadlift. I may take 2-3 minutes in between those sets, but when I'm not lifting as much and I'm in the in season, you know, my energy isn't as good. My mental strength, I would say, is not as good. And just my capacity to take that type of workload isn't quite as dominant. So I'll usually take a little bit less rest time, you know, 45 seconds to a minute and a half in between movements. I'll do supersets. I'll do some circuits sometimes. Not as much rest time again. And then I could talk about this topic all day. I need to stop. But last thing is intensity techniques are a big one that I'm into. So an intensity technique is a way to make your training harder. So it may be a drop set. It may be a cluster set. It may be, you know, a time under tension set. It may be a progressive overload set, something like that. I would say I don't do quite as much as that when I'm in a prep, especially again, once I'm like, you know, 6 weeks out and under, the intensity techniques are sometimes just a little bit too much for my central nervous system and for my body just to recover on. But when I'm eating a lot of food and I'm feeling strong and I'm feeling good at my best, I typically do a lot of crazy stuff with my training. I love drop sets. I love pushing myself. I love challenging myself. But it's more just about training smart, training hard, but really just training smart when you're in a prep. And then when you're in a off season, you can go a little bit more crazy. You still got to be smart with it, but you're typically lifting more and more intensity techniques. So hopefully that answers your question. I love receiving these. If you guys have anything in specific that you want me to discuss that I haven't talked about on this show yet, again, just shoot me a message and I'll be sure to include it on the show. I want to thank you guys again for taking some time to listen. I can't thank you enough if you can't tell. I want you guys to have an amazing rest of your week. Again, please know that my heart goes out to anyone struggling with mental health disorders. Believe me, you're not alone, and I don't have it all figured out, but I do the best that I can every day, and I encourage you to do the same thing. Wishing blessings for you guys, wishing you the best mental health, the best physical health, and just keep doing your best, putting one foot forward every single day, and I will talk to you next week on Thursday morning. Have a great rest of your day, and tune in to next week as well. Talk to y'all soon.